First smell test of the year with NFL plays coming up in about 25 minutes. Ben Standig is with us in his normal spot. He'll be with us Mondays at 12, Fridays at 12, and whenever we want him in between. Ben just put out on his Substack his 7th annual NFL agent survey. Always really interesting stuff from it. We're going to talk a little bit about that to start, and then we will get to Ben's season prediction and previewing and picking the game on Sunday and talking about some of the injuries that will be a factor in Sunday's game. So I really do enjoy this read every year. It was a great idea to do this when you started it. I think there's some significant learnings that not, you know, normal fans tend not to know, and even people in the know, you know, learn a lot from a lot of this. What were the big takeaways for you from this year's survey?
Yeah, it covers the range of, you know, what do people think of general managers and talent evaluators? How do they look at different organizations, the good and the questionable, we'll say. But there are also topics like, you know, what's in the news. And the Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons trade obviously has been very much in the news. And I thought what was interesting is the immediate reaction that everybody had seemingly was, Jerry Jones screwed this up. Jerry Jones botched this, and I think there's a case to be made. If he's going to trade Parsons, he should have done it back in like the spring when there would have been more teams potentially in the mix to take on a guy with that kind of salary. But that said, I was pretty surprised, to be honest. There were more agents who were in that first camp, but there was enough who said, yeah, they kind of buy what Jerry was selling in terms of, they ultimately came down to he couldn't spend all the money on basically three players. They've already given Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb a ton of money. If they had signed Micah Parsons to essentially the deal he got for Green Bay, like those three guys that I think would be like half of the Dallas salary cap, something like that. And also, a lot of people said, hey, look, there's definitely some smoke about the idea that Micah Parsons was not necessarily a great fit in the locker room. DeMarcus Lawrence this offseason left Dallas to go sign in Seattle, and on the way out, he and Micah were beefing on social media about their, you know, about Parsons' attitude in the locker room. So it's interesting to see that, like, whereas something that was immediately publicly viewed as a big loss for Dallas agents who, you know, obviously they hear, you know, they have clients in these locker rooms, they talk to everybody around the league, some of them were very convinced that Jerry actually did the right thing, although, you know, even if he maybe could have done it a little bit earlier.
I really did feel like in the moment, wow, you know, he's going to get absolutely crucified for this. But Dallas fans ultimately sort of supported Jerry, I think, you know, at least in, you know, simple majority or a slight majority. I think a lot of them had it with Micah Parsons, and certainly the amount of money was a driving factor ultimately in the way they felt. All right, there was a lot of Washington stuff. I actually read from this yesterday in the area in which there was a quote from an agent that called Washington, quote, the most stable organization from top to bottom. I just found that quote to be absolutely amazing, considering where they were for so long and as recently as 2 years ago. So any, you know, you can share with everybody just the overall agents, you know, you had 24 agents surveyed on the condition of anonymity for this. But what were some of the, you know, interesting takes about Washington as an organization, Quinn as a coach, and Jaden Daniels as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I do these conversations over the phone as opposed to, say, video chat. And on that one where you quoted the saying they were top to bottom, the most stable, you know, I'm glad because the other person would have seen my jaw drop as you said it. Because, like you just said, it's just like, we all know it's improving, but to hear that level in this person's opinion. And honestly, it was an opinion that was not abnormal. I mean, you know, others said, hey, they are probably the most personable group that I deal with on a given basis, in terms of, and this includes, you know, Adam Peters. This would include Brandon Sosna, who's their more or less their cap and contract guy. This would include Lance Newmark, their assistant GM, and not to mention, you know, various scouts. You know, depending on the player, scouts start the process more than say the top of the food chain there. you know, there was also the notion of, hey, like it was a question about the Terry McLaurin situation. What did people think of that? And, you know, it was a mixed bag of responses, mostly questioning McLaurin's side of it. But, you know, some people were like, hey, look, this is Adam Peters setting the tone that we're going to be a tough negotiating situation here, similar to what things were like in San Francisco. And I'm sure that helps cloud some of the agents' responses, because San Francisco, where Peters was, not that he was involved with contracts, but he was learning from there, that, you know, they would frequently hold a line, and even if that meant negotiation dragged out deep into training camp, if not right before the start of the season, and we basically just saw that with Terry. But, you know, so even the people who were like, I don't know about that, all said good things about them in general. So I think that's a pretty positive deal. There was a question about which head coach gets the most out of their players on and off the field. Mike Tomlin with the Steelers won that category. Not, you know, hasn't had a losing season basically in his whole career, so you kind of get that. But Dan Quinn was certainly one of the names that was mentioned frequently and given a lot of credit for the team's turnaround last year because of that culture situation that we've all talked about a million times. And then with Jaden, to nobody's surprise, a lot of praise for him. And there was a question about which quarterback is going to dominate the league for the next decade. And this is one of those questions that, you know, people, you know, had to pause and think about, because on the one hand, some of them easily said, well, Mahomes is going nowhere, but staying with him or Josh Allen. And others looked at a young guy like Daniels and was like, if we're talking about an ascending player, who's more ascending than that guy? So he got a lot of praise in that regard as somebody who could absolutely control, you know, not just Washington's fate, but control the league over the next decade. There's so many variables that go into that, of course, but, you know, as we know, that's not been a sentence. Even when they won the Super Bowls, nobody was saying that about Joe Theismann, Doug Williams, or Mark Rippon. So this is really uncharted territory for this team in modern history.
You, moving away from some of the Washington-related stuff, there was a bunch of stuff in there on Shedeur Sanders and why he fell. I would urge people to, you know, become a subscriber of Last Man Standing, Ben's Substack forum. You can get a link to it and find out more about it if you go to @BenStandig. There is an opportunity right now for people to sign up for a discount, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Through week one, especially through Monday, 20% off monthly or annual rates. And, you know, of course, you know, the part of the attraction this week is the survey. But, you know, for Commanders fans, I'm going to be here all year. And, you know, we've already had a pretty good start. And, yeah, I would encourage everybody to, you know, take a look, join, and jump on board. By the way, you know, you mentioned that I'll be here on Fridays at noon. I forgot that Dan...
What?
You and I are talking, so we may have to discuss that at some point. But because he could,
is Dan Quinn talking right now?
No. But he's coming in like the next 15 minutes, give or take. So,
we'll
figure that out.
Yeah, we accommodate you. Whatever works for you will work.
I also want you to be able to hear Dan Quinn on your own.
What I was going to bring up was that you had something in here about Arch Manning. The question, Arch Manning will be the most anticipated QB prospect since. Obviously, you asked all of these general managers before his very first game, but they said since Andrew Luck was the number one, and he was probably the last most anticipated. I don't know, maybe Trevor Lawrence was. But there were a lot of quotes. One guy said, I'm selling the Arch hype. He's barely played in college. Another said, Todd Marinovich, it's not the player, it's the family legacy. And, you know, it seems like there was some, before the opener last week against Ohio State, there was some skepticism.
Yeah. I think one of those sort of negative answers you just read was answered right after Arch's first game, because I was kind of finalizing this right all the way to the end. But yeah, I mean, look, obviously it's a fascinating player, but we all get it. I mean, it's one of those bits. If his name was Arch Smith, we wouldn't be nearly as enthralled as we are, because it's the next Manning, and that's what's so interesting about this. So there is something to that for sure. And obviously his performance last week was not particularly sharp, although I kind of thought he was just running for his life. It felt like the whole game, and I know Texas lost most of their offensive line last year to the draft, so we'll see how that unfolds. But yeah, it's an incredibly interesting situation. And it was, for me, it was kind of fun to see where the agent's mind went, because you could make a case he was the most anticipated quarterback since Caleb Williams just last year. The difference is that with Caleb Williams, it wasn't just one quarterback. There were other guys. With Trevor Lawrence, it was sort of Trevor Lawrence or bust to a degree. I mean, you know, so that's where I think some of these years can change, or the perceptions can change. But clearly Arch Manning will be a much-discussed quarterback prospect for the next year or two.
All right. Some really good stuff in Ben's 2025 agent survey, not just league or Washington-related. There's a lot of stuff in there about the CBA. It's just a lot of good stuff in it. I would urge you to read it. All right, let's talk our team. The season, it is about to open up with on Sunday against the Giants. I'm at 11-6. Max is at 11-6. And we both have Washington advancing to the Super Bowl. So this is your opportunity. I'm sure you've already done it on your Substack. So tell everybody what your season prediction is and how the season ends and where it ends.
You know, I haven't done it on my Substack because I knew how much you wanted to discuss it. So I waited for you. Okay, so like these are not caveats. I'm just explaining how my brain works. The reality is there's just, look, of course, for every team there's a ton of variables, but in this case, we have a relatively short amount of data, i.e., one season, to figure out what this team really is. And again, we know how last year went. A lot of games decided at the very end of the game. They set the all-time modern record, essentially, for fourth down conversions. That's 87%. They faced a litany of blech quarterbacks last year, and the schedule was much easier on paper than it is compared to this season. So there's a lot of reason to point and say, that's going to be a regression. But the one thing I don't see as a regression is the quarterback. And to me, this is a point that matters more than what's their record, even though I get that's what we're all talking about, is that the floor is so much higher now than it has been at any point in the last, 20-something years because of him. So the 11 wins of the Super Bowl that you guys are saying, and, I could sit here and say, boy, you guys need to maybe get your heads checked, but I also can't say that you're crazy, because this is how good this kid is. If he plateaus as the same year he did a year ago, he could win the MVP. I've come around to the point, I think he probably should have won the MVP last year if we didn't have pre-existing narratives, because who did more with less than he did, essentially, in terms of where this team was.
Yeah, the numbers would have never supported it, though, because a big part of that MVP story is numbers.
No, I get that, but I'm saying if the valuable part is actually front and center, then who is more valuable? Anyway, so he could be great, and I think that's ultimately my deal. So I think Washington can be better this year. Defensively, it looks like they've improved along the line. The cornerback room is much, much better than it was a year ago. Debo Samuel is easily the best receiver, number two receiver, that Terry has ever played with here. So there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. I just think when you factor in some of the regression stuff, I found myself landing closer to like 9-8 than say where you guys are. But again, for me, they could still be a better team, be 9-8. And the fact that Jaden Daniels exists is why this is all, even if I'm saying there'll be three games less than it wins, three less wins than a year ago, do not take that as me saying this is the worst team. Just things might break the wrong way, and Jaden Daniels gives you the opportunity to make up for it, and that is all that really matters.
Is 9-8 good enough for a postseason berth or not?
I think so. I honestly haven't really sort of played that.
Last year, 10-7 didn't get Seattle in the NFC.
Right. Well, I'll figure out a way to get them in at 9-8. I mean, look, we talk about obviously that they're playing the NFC North and the AFC West, two divisions that had a combined six teams in the playoffs last year.
Right.
One game does not change anything, but you look at the game last night with the Eagles and the Cowboys. Philly obviously has lost a lot of pieces on defense, but their offense is still pretty amazing, and I would assume they'll have Jalen Carter in there for most games. I don't know necessarily what Dallas is going to be, but I do wonder if somehow, from a mental perspective, they might be better off without the Micah Parsons distraction. Clearly, the offense can move the ball enough. And I am actually a little more optimistic on the Giants, partly because of their defense and partly, like Malik Nabers. So I think the division is going to be really tough too. And therefore, man, their schedule could be potentially brutal. You obviously never know how these things go, but, and look, the other teams have the same issues. It's not like it's just on Washington because they're all basically playing the same schedules. So I just think that's going to be so important. You know, when a given week happens, do the certain breaks go their way? Last year, they absolutely did. If they do again, they'll be where you guys said. But I just, you know, the odds are that's not going to happen, and that's how I land at nine wins.
Very good. Let's talk about Sunday. Who's at risk of not playing?
Well, I guess the one to watch is Noah Brown. He's right. been obviously missed, you know, the vast majority of training camp with the knee issue, with an injury he has suffered back in the spring. He's been limited this week, which we just were outside for the stretching portion of practice, and I did not see him out there. Now, he could have been inside with the training staff for been given a vet day rest. So even if he does play, how much will he play? How effective will he be? To some degree, it's a similar question to Terry, although, you know, less of the far less, though, you know. So we'll have to see how that goes in terms of, how much does Terry play? I think Terry probably plays maybe a little bit less than his usual, but close enough. But how effective will he be? That's the big question. So I think the receiver room is the one to watch. And I know you've asked a lot about the running backs. So are they going to keep four up? I just keep thinking the answer is yes. When you look at the overall roster and who they could sit, I just think there's enough other guys that they can sit that he'll be the guy to play.
Okay. Prediction on Sunday. For Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, in honor of Lee Corso, I'll say Washington wins, but it's closer than the experts think. So something like 23-20 Commanders.
Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. I will talk to you on Monday.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Get to the coach. Right. Ben Standig, everybody, at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. When we come back, it is going to be a busy smell test for week one of the NFL, week two of college. Got a lot of games to give out. We'll do that when we come back.